Today, the lending cracks widen in September. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The ABS released their lending to households and businesses today, which is flow data to the end of September 2019. And I was reading the various reports on the release, and guess what? Most commentators are strangely bullish. However, I'll show you that the reality is rather different. And in fact, it seems to me that lending momentum is, if anything, now easing back again after a couple of stronger months. And this would be consistent with the results from our household surveys, which we discussed in an earlier post. Now, just a quick word on the original versus seasonally adjusted versus trend data. So the ABS publishes the raw data. It publishes a series based on seasonal adjustments based on what's happened over the last few years. And that's the one that's often picked up in the press. And they also publish the trend series, which is the one we look at, because that irons out some of the lumps and bumps. And it's worth thinking about this seasonal adjustment stuff, because essentially, if you have a weird year, as we've got this year, then maybe the seasonally adjusted series departs from reality more than usual. And before we look at housing, a quick word on business lending. In trend terms, the value of new lending commitments to businesses fell 0.9% in September and was down 3.5% on September 2018. And this continues the pattern of weaker business investment, something which echoes our SME surveys, and retail and construction sectors in particular are under pressure at the moment. But turning now to mortgages, overall trend housing flows were indeed a little stronger, with about $27 billion worth of flows written in the month, compared with $31 billion written each month back at the heights of 2017. The trend is higher than the recent dip, which fell as low as $25.1 billion back in March, but as you can see, the quantum of the rise is quite small. And within that, 32.9% of all loans by value were refinancing existing loans, which is the highest it's been for some time. And the share of investment loans continue to slide to 26% of all loans written. So much of the momentum is from wheel spinning as people seek out cheaper deals. And if we look across the loan types, there has been a small rise in recent months, with owner-occupied purchase of new and existing property up most strongly. In the case of new property, a significant proportion were off-the-plan settlements, which had been locked in 1 or 2 years before, and it reached a peak of 3.8% a couple of months ago, and is now easing back. The purchase of existing property is still growing at around 2.8%, but again is easing back slightly. On the other hand, mortgages for construction are just 0.1% up on low volumes. And the investment side of the house shows a rise since May, but both new investment loans and refinanced investment loans are easing back to around 1.7%. And looking in more detail about owner-occupied lending flows, we can see that about $6.4 billion are refinanced loans, which is slightly higher than recently, but travelling in similar territory since a peak in January 2016. And owner-occupied loans are up, with an inflection since the election in May and following lending loosening, but the amounts involved are still quite small, from a low of $12.4 billion a month last year to $13.9 billion now, hardly a massive turnaround. Ignoring refinancing, new owner-occupied loans were sitting at 2.5% up in trend terms, but with Tasmania up a massive 4.6%, but on low values. New lending flows are up across most states apart from the ACT, with New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland holding the major shares. Overall, the rise is 1.6% over the past year. But note the small values in Tasmania, the ACT and the Northern Territories. Tasmania in particular is being talked up, but the values are minuscule. In fact, refinancing is also tracking a little higher, with 80% of loans in the three eastern states. In terms of investment loans, refinance loans are around $2.6 billion a month compared to $2.4 billion a few months back, and new investment loans are at $4.7 billion a month compared with $4.4 billion back in April. These increases are pretty small and 13% down from the peak in annualized terms. New lending flows for investment loans shows again a concentration in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, but are still well down from the $9 billion per month back in 2015. In fact, refinancing of existing investment loans is in relative terms stronger, tracking now at levels seen in recent years as people seek out cheaper loans, switch to principal interest from interest-only loans, and switch from fixed to variable loans. And new lending commitments for investment dwellings fell 4%, following rises in the previous 3 months, with Victoria down 6.5% and Queensland down 7%, driving the falls in September, in seasonal terms, which is the way the ABS reports the data. But in trend terms, total new investment loans are up 1.6%, but with loans in Tasmania above 2% and ahead of the growth rates in New South Wales and Victoria. And finally, the number of loans to owner-occupied first-time buyers fell 1.9% in September compared to September 2018. The number of owner-occupied first-time buyer loan commitments was up 6.8%, and around $3.5 billion are being written for first-time buyers, but it is easing back a little now. And finally, to complete the picture, personal finance commitments rose 7.7% in September, following a 2.7% fall in August, and were down 5.7% on September 2018. So while some are paying down credit cards and other loans, many households are tapping into personal credit to support their finances, something which we see in our surveys. And so, in summary, do not be deceived. This is not a major turnaround in credit growth. Remember that the annual data from the RBA showed housing credit down to 3.1% growth. That's as low as it's been. And some of this is due to households paying down existing loans, but the flows of new loans are still well down. No wonder banks are competing hard for the meagre pickings available. Their profitability will be severely compromised at these levels, and this lack of credit momentum, to my mind, questions whether in fact home prices are truly moving up at the pace that some are claiming. But we will come to that in a future post. And just before I go, I wanted to highlight the fact that the ABS has alerted us that they're going to be changing these data series ahead. In fact, they say that from December 2019, the publication will be based on new, improved data collections called the Economic and Financial Statistics, which will enhance the quality of information available. To better reflect the new content, the publication will be renamed Lending Indicators Australia, and the first issue of the new publication will contain October 2019 data, and will be released on the 17th of December 2019. And they say the new publication will include new data collected for the first time and data conceptually similar to that published in the existing publication, but with improved data quality due to updated reporting instructions and definitions. And they say this will result in level shifts across most series. Some existing series will no longer be collected, and some will be suspended from publication pending further analysis of the newly collected data. And there will be more housing data available in the new publication lending indicators compared with the lending to households and businesses, but fewer data items will be available on business loan commitments. And the ABS plans to increase the content of that publication over time. And then they go on to talk about the fact that the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority collects data from financial institutions for the ABS and the Reserve Bank, and some of the forms used to collect data from authorised deposit-taking institutions, banks and registered financial corporations have not been updated since the early 2000s. Over the last few years, APRA, the ABS and RBA and the industry have worked together to modernise the collection. And this has been a large and complex project involving considerable collaboration between the three agencies and industry. The new set of forms and related guidance is called the Economic and Financial Statistics Collection. And the EFS, they say, will give better data quality through, for example, better guidance on what to report so institutions can provide consistent data, updated definitions to align with international standards for compiling economic statistics, and more detailed data on home loans, including to investors and first home buyers. The EFS collection will increase the reliability and accuracy of the data published in lending indicators. And one of the most important changes is the increased detail and the precision in definitions of the data reported. And these definitions are accompanied by comprehensive guidance to assist the ADIs. Reporting on the new forms commenced for July 2019 for 3 months, with a parallel run with the existing collection to allow time to assess the effects of changes in the reporting basis before publishing the new data. And there will be changes to levels and some movements due to clearer reporting guidance on how to report concepts such as residency, loan purpose, and industry. And they make the point that where new concepts are sufficiently similar to the current concepts, the ABS will produce a historic series back to July 2002, i.e. a backcast series, and in most cases will produce seasonally adjusted statistics. The level of the historic series will change due to the improved reporting and updated definitions of concepts. Newly collected data, the new data items outlined in this paper, will not be backcast or seasonally adjusted. 4 data points from July 2019 to October 2019 will be available in the December release. And the approach to season adjustment will be similar to the method used on the existing publication. Detailed series will be directly adjusted. There will be no reconciliation of directly adjusted components with directly adjusted totals. And as a result, these components will not add up to the totals in seasonally adjusted terms, and indirect adjustments will be applied at a relatively high level when it can be shown to improve the seasonal adjustment. And then this is a final point which is worth noting. The changes to the concepts and the classifications are significant. There is a high likelihood of revisions in future reporting periods as APRA, the ABS, and the RBA continue to work with ADIs and other reporting institutions to ensure consistent reporting that aligns with instructions and definitions, and the impact on seasonality can be measured. And they warn, it is expected data quality will continue to improve over time. Now, I'm all in favour of better data, but I think we must understand that through this process, the figures will move around, and therefore we won't know the true position, because there will be changes to the method, which will change the output. So this is a warning, and it's a continued warning because we've already seen in the APRA data that these data series are somewhat unreliable. And I, for one, will be interested to see how reliable the data becomes and whether, in fact, some of the anomalies that we're aware of get shaken out in the process. But the fact of the matter is, we're still flying blind when it comes to really good data on home loans. And that is a significant worry. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.